Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
Now, it's time to catch up with our friends at the BBC to find out more about the headlines that they will be tracking all week long. We are joined this hour by Rich Preston, senior journalist and presenter at the BBC World Service. Good day to you, Rich. Let's start off with sports, of course. A big day for the UK with Wimbledon and the Euro 2020 finals. Did you watch any of the matches? And how's it like? How's the atmosphere like there in the UK?
Yeah, definitely. A big sporting weekend here, as you say. Wimbledon saw Novak Djokovic claim his 20th Grand Slam title, joining that club of 20. But the football really was the one that dominated the headlines, mostly because there was such a strong urge for England to win. They've not won a major tournament like this since 1955.
But
of course, it went to the Italians in the end. They've not won since 68. It went to penalties. It's a very tense game, edge of the seat stuff, and in the end, it didn't go England's way. I should have said, sorry, 1965, since England had won a big tournament like this, not 55, sorry. So, yeah, really gripping stuff. Cold, wet and rainy here in London.
Oh dear. Well, it's rainy here in Singapore as well, Rich. Tim's just done a quick update. We've got thunderstorms across the island. But one thing I wanted to ask you, because following the matches over TV and online last night, crowds out to support these games, these big games. And, you know, tonight, Prime Minister Boris Johnson is expected to provide an update on that further easing of COVID-19 measures on July 19th. What can we expect there, and what's the latest COVID-19 situation in the UK?
Yeah, that's right, Rachel. Huge crowds out for the football. And as you say, this is ahead of restrictions in England due to be lifted next week. This press conference with Boris Johnson, we're expecting he will confirm the lifting of restrictions, which means all limits gone, no groups of six, nightclubs can open again, no social distancing, no mandatory wearing of masks.
Right.
But that comes as the UK is recording around 30,000 coronavirus cases a day. But the key thing, Rachel, is the cases are up, but the hospitalizations are down. And of course, that's being attributed to our very successful vaccine rollout, which started early and has picked up pace. Two-thirds of adults in the UK have had both doses of their coronavirus vaccine. So cases up, but hospitalizations down. And that's why the government says they're happy lifting the lid on these restrictions.
And I think that's what we're all really hoping for with the vaccines taking effect in many places in Europe and the rest of the world, Rich. Just one quick note on the post-Euro 2020, though. We've seen rowdy crowds on social media, at least, all throughout a couple of hours ago. I mean, everything quieted down now?
It has now, yeah. But as you say, it was pretty rowdy overnight, and there were some security breaches at the stadium itself as well. At one point, a fan even got onto the pitch. There's also been a concern about the racial abuse directed towards some of the players from the England team, especially on their social media feeds. The Prime Minister and the Football Association have been quick to condemn that. And of course, it's a minority of fans, but it doesn't look good nonetheless.
Now, Rich, you shared earlier about Boris, the speech that's expected to come out, I'm assuming, in the next few hours, isn't it, in terms of easing measures in the UK, and that's on the back of high vaccine rates and the impact that that's having on the virus in the UK as well. Can you give us a quick update on vaccine rollout across Europe as well? Because, you know, while you've mentioned we've seen COVID cases rising in many countries, vaccine rates are as well, similar to the UK.
Yeah, that's right. The vaccine rollout after an initial kind of stalled start is going pretty well across Europe. Lots of countries reporting a rise in cases, France, Germany, Spain, Portugal. But because of the vaccine rollout, they're also managing to keep their hospitalization down. It's worth highlighting, of course, the majority of the new cases are amongst the Delta variant. And the same is true in the United States as well, where they're seeing their cases go up as well. South Korea, Japan, etc. as well. South Korea actually, as of today, tightening its COVID restrictions because cases are reaching record numbers, numbers they've not seen since the start of the pandemic. Australia as well, cases rising there. Sydney expected to extend its lockdown, which it's currently in.
We're talking to Rich Preston, senior journalist and presenter at the BBC World Service. Rich, this week, an Indian food delivery giant, Zomato? Okay, it depends where you're from, I guess. It looks like a Zomato to me. I usually say tomato. But anyway, it launched its IPO. Can you tell us more about this?
Yeah, well, I would go with Zomato as well. And the interesting thing about this, Timothy, is it's not just India. It's actually backed by China's Ant Group and by Uber, of course, based in the US.
Major.
So really, it's a global story here.
Yeah.
And it's being listed on India's National Stock Exchange and the Bombay Stock Exchange at the same time. And it's going to give Zomato a valuation of about $8 billion US dollars. Now, this is the first significantly large listing from a solely digital space in India. And it's not on its own. It's actually going to be going head-to-head this week against an app called Swiggy. Now, Swiggy is backed by the South African investment group Naspers and by Japan's SoftBank. Now, I'm sure you'll remember SoftBank is the bank that got behind the U.S. shared workspace startup WeWork when it started to tank. So some real global movements on the Indian stock exchange this week.
So, Rich, tell us about the timing here, because with any IPO, the launch timing is really critical, though, isn't it? And you've mentioned some key competition there.
Absolutely, really critical timing. And they've chosen their timing for this launch very, very carefully. Now, they are capitalizing on the huge surge that we've seen around the world in food delivery companies. Now, certainly here in the UK, Uber Eats, Deliveroo, etc., have done very well out of the pandemic. Mm. And Zomato is no different, especially with Indian cases rising and stay-at-home orders in place. It's done very well. And, you know, especially when you bear in mind India's economy, like many economies around the world, not in a great position at the moment. And so many financial analysts are saying the only way is up. So now is the moment to invest in Zomato.
Interesting how they will compete with the traditional Dabbawalas, are they called? The lunch delivery people there in India.
That's right. Yeah, and Zomato's co-founder says they're in the business of disrupting that culture. And as you said, it's a culture that's, you know, existed for years and years. So interesting playoff between the kind of
could be centuries, you know, that culture. One last thing we need to talk about, of course, is Richard Branson's mission to the edge of space. Quite a success as well.
And you did say the only way is up there, Rich. So, you know, got to follow on from that.
Well, that said, but then I think with the heights he got to, the only way was down, really. He took off yesterday. This all happened high above New Mexico in the United States. He reached an altitude of 55 kilometers, 53 miles, in his Unity rocket. Now, that rocket had been in development for 17 years. You know, he described it as the experience of a lifetime. It's something he always dreamed of doing. But crucially, you know, we talked about timing when it came to that IPO. And in the world of competitive billionaires, a world you and I can only dream of, timing was critical here, because what he achieved yesterday made him the first to make a trip like this in their own vehicle, crucially beating his rivals Jeff Bezos
by days.
Now, exactly, yes.
Nine days,
precisely. So Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk both saying they were going to be watching Richard Branson's mission, and I'm sure they were watching with a tinge of jealousy there. But this is, of course, all about moving towards eventual hopes, they say, of space tourism. And around 600 people have already paid deposits for tickets to make journeys like this, tickets that cost them $250,000 each. So, yeah, interesting to watch.
Well, I have a dream of going to the edge of space as well. So maybe, hopefully.
One day, Tim.
If you're listening.
One day, Tim.
If you're listening, Richard Branson or Jeff Bezos, I'm here. If you need a volunteer. Thank you very much, Rich, for joining us this Monday here on Primetime on Money FM 89.3. Rich Preston is a senior journalist and presenter at the BBC World.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.